for Cornish Mining. I'm from Cornwall, and I've worked in various parts of the world where they do have mining museums and recognition of their own mining industry, but in Cornwall, up until fairly recently, there was nothing. Despite the fact that it was Cornwall, that the Cornish miners that actually went off to places like South Africa, where I used to work, and Ghana, where I used to work, and there are museums for Cornish for their own mining industry out there. The Cornish mining industry goes back perhaps 4,000 years, sort of back to the Bronze Age period. If you go around the sort of moors here, there are Bronze Age settlements, standing stones and things like that. Over the years, over the millennia, most of the mining in this area was done by tin streaming, where they were actually recovering tin from the sediments and streams, because all the way along the coastline here, there are lots of valleys and ravines. And that continued basically until that began to run out, and then the guys tried to figure out, well, where did the tin come from? And then they actually found the lode structure, the veins, and they started to sink pits along the veins. The clever ones went down to the cliffs and saw the veins in the cliffs and started to stick little tunnels in there, all done by hand. and so basically underground mining then started. Underground mining probably started in this area probably in the 1500s, something like that. But again, all fairly small scale, because in those days there was no things that, such as explosives and whatever. It was all done by hand where the rock was fairly soft. Later on, with the introduction of gunpowder, they were able to get a bit deeper. But the problems in Cornish mining were that you didn't have to go too far down and hit the water table, and you had difficulties in mining them because of the water coming into the mine. In this part of the world here, it does rain a bit, and you know there's a lot of water that actually just seep into the mines. Of course, it was then the introduction of the steam engines. Initially, Bolton and Watt from Brummyland, where their engines came here. Then latterly, with the introduction of the high-pressure steam that was developed by Richard Trevithick, the guy that invented the first railway. Everyone seems to think it was Stephenson's rocket. It wasn't. It was Trevithick in 1801 in Camborne. He invented high-pressure steam, which used far less coal, and therefore made the mines in Cornwall a hell of a lot more profitable. They were able to mine a heck of a lot deeper. Underground mining in this area here, as far as Geever is concerned, was a relatively modern mine. The actual company was formed in 1911 when miners came back from South Africa. Most of the mines in this part of the world were then shut. Did a fair amount of exploration work at the top of the site. Where you actually came in onto the site, you saw a wooden head frame. That sits on top of Weatherhead Shaft. And just above, on the other side of the road, along the granite outcrop, was Wheal Carn. Carn in this part of the world meaning a hill. And Wheal Carn was the where they were scratching around and found some good deposits. They moved this way and then sank Weatherhead Shaft. And so Wheal Carn became the actual original part of Geever. And it didn't take them too long to realise that the further west they moved, the more the load structures increased. Now they sank Victory Shaft there, and that was sunk in, they began to sink that in about 1918, 1919. And that then became the main shaft of Geever. But up at Wheal Carn, they found on one of the walls a bit of graffiti with the date of 1791 on it. So, you know, underground mining, certainly in that part of the world, was that part of the area, goes back that far. So, as I say, Geever, relatively modern mine. The focus of activity eventually centred on Victory Shaft here. That shaft was sunk from the surface down to 15 level, which is 1,500 feet below surface. In Cornwall, every level was 100 foot apart from the other. All to do with the fact that the actual tin veins in this part of the world are almost vertical, sort of vertical to 70 degrees. As I said, if you go down to the cliffs and all the rest of it, you'll quite often see the actual vein structures in the cliff, and you'll quite often see some tunnels where the guys have actually mined into them. If you go up to St Agnes and Perranporth, it's in particular, where the cliffs are a couple of hundred feet high, you can actually see these adits that they've actually put in there. Geever worked via Victory Shaft. In the late 50s, Geva was running out of ore, so they had to seek other areas. Just a mile down the road here is Levant mine. Levant worked up until 1930, and then became part of the Geva set, as it's called. So Geva was interested in looking at Levant, so they were contemplating dewatering Levant. However, they noticed something quite strange when they looked down skip shaft at Levant, because every time the tide came in, the water in the shaft went up. And when the tide went out, the water in the shaft went down. They thought, ah, there's a hole in the mine somewhere. I'm sure there was. So they put some dye down the shaft, and they saw where it came out of the sea, about 40 yards or 40 metres offshore. So they had to seal the sea breach. And that was done after a few unsuccessful efforts in the 1960s, with loads of concrete and boulders and all the rest of it. And once that was actually done, then they began to dewater Levant. And as they began to dewater Levant, they put tunnels across to it to actually connect with it. And that was where they were then going to go out under the sea to actually then mine the extension of the mineral veins, the lodes of Levant. In order to do that, they needed access. So you've got the main vertical shaft, and they sank it down another level, down to 16 level. So that was done in 1975. And then they put an incline shaft from, so you've got the main shaft and then an incline shaft that went out under the sea. And Her Majesty the Queen actually went underground here in 1980 and went down to 15 level, and I duly declare this shaft open. So there aren't many times that she and the family and the various members of the royal family actually went underground. Having said that, the Duke of Edinburgh has been here probably at least three times. And the actual plaque that she unveiled is on the wall in our museum. That was recovered when the mine closed. So that was going to be the future of Geva. And also a little bit further down the road, at a hamlet called Batalic, there's another shaft there, and there's a steel head frame on top of that. And Geva was going to explore in off the bay at Batalic, because indications are there are about 5 million tonnes of ore out there. However, in 1985, the price of tin crashed. It had been trading anywhere between £8,000 and £10,000 a tonne up to that period. The cartel that had existed for decades, that controlled the supply and price of tin, they ran out of money. The price of tin collapsed to around about £3,000 a tonne. So it basically made all mining in Cornwall unviable. Geva was put on in early 1986, was put onto care and maintenance. Basically, what that meant is the pumps were kept running to keep the mine dry, and then the production people were laid off. Over the next 18 months, the price of tin began to increase a bit more, so then it became profitable to actually start to mine some of the ground that was left behind, so some of the miners were taken back. And they continued in operation until early 1990, when the price of tin fell away again. The miners were then laid off again. The mine was kept on care and maintenance, but after about a year or so, 18 months, it was pretty obvious the price of tin wasn't going to increase, so the pumps were switched off, and that allowed the mine to begin to flood. And it took 3.5 years to flood to what's known as adit level, which is the drainage level, which, as far as Victory Shaft is concerned, is just above the high water mark down at the cliffs. While all this was going on, once the pumps were switched off, the scrap metal merchants came in and started to dismantle the various parts of the mine, and bits were sold off. But there was a tremendous outcry in the vicinity that by allowing these people to continue like that would end up obliterating Geva and would preclude any potential for reopening of the mine. So what happened was Cornwall County Council, got involved and decided to compulsory purchase the site to turn it into a museum, which would then give breathing space for any potential reopening. So in 1992-93, this place was staffed by volunteers, and in August 1993, it opened up as a museum. So what you're in now became part of the museum. It was the museum, actually, when a few of the buildings outside were opened up. Subsequently, what's happened is about up to £4 million of investment has come in, and all of the buildings have been re-roofed, or most of them, re-roofed, re-clad, and they're in good condition now for about the next 30 years. so that's what we have. Now, what's happened in the interim, of course, is that Cornish Mining got World Heritage status. As I mentioned earlier, the various parts of the world that I've been in, the Cornish influence has existed out there. And it, up to 6 million people around the world, particularly in places like Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, United States, Canada, have Cornish descendancy. And there are lots of, and Mexico, of course, and there are lots of sort of Cornish communities in these areas. So Cornwall County Council investigated the possibility of World Heritage status because, again, so many of the towns and villages in Cornwall are there because of the mining. And eventually in 2006, World Heritage status was awarded to Cornish Mining. And we are in the most further west of the 10 regions that actually form the Cornish Mining World Heritage site. This is the St Just Mining District, which exists from just this side of St Ives, just down to Land's End. All the mining is coastal here. It runs, it's all due to the fact that the Carn that runs along it, which is the spine of Cornwall, is the granite outcrop. And from a geological perspective, we'll refresh your geology there, Mark, about 270 million years ago, up came this granite, which is volcanic. It cooled, and as it began to cool, the cracks formed. Secondary volcanic activity happened, and up came these hot gases and liquids, and they filled these cracks. And as they cooled, they became the mineral lodes. So they exist around the contact between the granite and what the miners in Cornwall call killers, metamorphic rock. And that's why there is all this mineralisation in Cornwall. So what you have now is this site here, a very typical 20th century tin mine, which is part of the World Heritage Site. And this is also the western gateway to the World Heritage Site, an honour, as it were, bestowed upon the site by His Royal Highness the Duke of Kent when he came here 2 years ago. So that's what we have here. As for the future, I mean, you know, it's great having a museum, and we like to think about the future. Will mining restart in Cornwall? In this area here, it is unlikely. Simply because the sort of Giva set, as it's called, was mined out. This 2 square miles of ground here was actually mined out. The future is still Batalloch, as I mentioned, where you've got potentially 5 million tonnes of ore sitting out in the bay there. An eminent geologist, Richard Garnett, I was speaking with some years back, he was a young lad that was here in the late 1950s, early 60s. He said, in that direction, which is out by the lighthouse. So there is certainly potential for mining in this part of the world. The most of the activity at the moment is going on in two areas. One is South Crofty Mine in Camborne. That was the last mine to operate. It was shut in 1998. There's a tremendous amount of activity going on there with drilling for new reserves. And they're showing very, very encouraging results. So there is a distinct possibility that mining could resume in the Camborne area.
What's the price of tin there?
Price of tin's around about £12,500 a tonne.
It's gone back up again.
It's gone considerably up again. And it looks like it will remain reasonably high as well. A lot of the cheaper alternatives, sources of tin over the years have been mined out as well overseas. So, Cornwall is back again with an advantage. South Crofty, interestingly enough, they actually made a statement only a couple of days ago. It's on the website, BBC local website, and they have stated that the value of the tin or the metals in the South Crofty area is in the region of about £1.5 billion. So that is a figure that they have quoted. I mean, it's we all quote things like that if you want to. If you want things to progress, but it's looking extremely encouraging there. The other area where there's a lot of activity going on is just in Devon, which is at Hemaden. That's a deposit that's been going back for years and years and years and years and years. It's a tungsten deposit with tin as a byproduct. And to date, there's a huge amount of activity going on up there. So that could open as an open cast mine, primarily mining tungsten with tin as a byproduct. So those are two areas where there's a lot of activity going on. I'm also aware that there are a lot of people looking at the mineral rights within the county. Certainly with the price of metals being as they are, and they've been consistently high for quite a number of years now, there is interest in Cornwall's mining again.